Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sinai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Real fast, before we jump into things with our guest, want to remind you tonight, if you're looking for some pro wrestling, future great wrestling happening in Hamilton, Ohio, WCWO, as usual, in Indianapolis at the Outlaw Arena. Tomorrow, Northwest Pro returning to Curly's in Post Falls, Idaho. And you also have Supreme Wrestling happening in Madison, Indiana. Make sure you look around. If there's a show near you and you feel safe doing so, go support your local independent promotions. Lots of shows out there, so take a look, find one, go support them. But without further ado, I want to welcome back to the show a guest we have not had on here in a very long time, which we are rectifying today. Jacob Johns, welcome back to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing very well. Now, it's been an incredibly long time since you were here, but to start things off today, you, in fact, kind of made a life choice that affects, of course, your wrestling career, but all aspects of your life, of course. You have cut a lot of weight in the last several months and are kind of transforming your body as we speak. Can you tell us a little bit about what the decision was to start this and how the journey is going for you?
Yeah, so I was having a lot of health problems back in January, and I went to the ended up having to go to the emergency room. They thought my gallbladder was going bad, and so they're going to get me set up for an MRI and all that stuff, and find out that I'm too big to fit in their MRI machine. I weighed 487 pounds at the time, so I decided at that point it was time to make a change, and I went into my PCP, and we were talking, and she suggested that I start to see a bariatric specialist. So I went and seen the bariatric specialist, and we decided that I was going to have the gastric sleeve done. And if you don't know, you have to go through a six-month program for most insurances. So I started cutting out, like, soda and carbs and watching what I was eating. I dropped 60 pounds between February and August. I got approved for my surgery in September, had my surgery at the end of September, and I've dropped another 63 pounds since September. I'm down 120 some odd pounds since then.
That's an entire person's worth of weight to lose. Al, since you lost all that weight in a relatively short time, have you felt better? Do you feel like you're getting healthier, or is that still a work in progress?
Oh, I feel great. It's definitely still a work in progress. I mean, it's a battle every day to make sure that I'm eating right and I'm not, you know, doing anything to affect my diet. But, you know, they removed 85% of my stomach. So right now I can eat about 3 to 4 ounces at a time. It's crazy, man. Like, I would never before in my life believe that I could only eat a few ounces of food and be full and be healthy, and it's crazy.
One person that you have wrestled in your career that did not have the surgery but definitely dropped a lot of body weight a couple of different times in his life is Stompin' Steve. I know he Also struggled with weight off and on. He's dropped 150 plus pounds at least a couple or three times that I've known him. I've known him a long time. Did you consult with people like Steve and a few of the other wrestlers that similarly went with a drastic decision to drop that much weight?
I didn't talk to Steve per se, but I did talk to a few other people that I know in and out of the wrestling business that have transformed their bodies and got themselves healthier. A big concern for me was if I would ever be able to get back in the ring. And there was a couple guys who I know outside of the business who do martial arts and like MMA and stuff. And they're like, once you're healed, you'll be fine. I mean, because I'm not ready to get out of the business at this point in my life, you know?
Well, we out here in the Northwest have a wrestler who went through a very similar surgery and went from super heavyweight to a guy that can barely keep on the tights he got from a cruiserweight. So definitely you can get back in the ring after the surgery. We've seen it here with our guys. In the current era that we're in right now, pro wrestling has been drastically altered. One of the things to keep things going and to get content to fans so the fans don't totally forget about promotions is a cinematic match. The major promotions have been doing them for a few years to varying degrees of success and interest. The independent promotions have been doing this for the last several months when possible. What is your personal thoughts on the cinematic style of match that we've seen creeping up on the independents?
I think that there's multiple ways to tell the stories in professional wrestling, and I enjoy many different ways that people express themselves through the business. The cinematic matches, at first I was kind of hesitant about, but after seeing some of the bigger promotions and like Lucha Underground was really big, was really one of the first places that did cinematic style matches and stuff. I believe that there's a place in the business for them. I don't think that everybody should do them, though.
Al, have you personally ever either participated in a cinematic match or have been approached to take part in one?
No, I have not.
Now, we are around a week away from the start of the holiday season. Hanukkah, of course, starts off next week, and Christmas and Kwanzaa are going to be quickly behind that. One of the things that wrestling fans have enjoyed over the last 20 years or so is getting a book on either a wrestler or the sport of wrestling itself. Do you personally have a favorite wrestling-related book that you would recommend that people buy for the wrestling fans on their holiday gift-giving list?
I have a couple. If you haven't read either of the Chris Jericho books, those are both phenomenal reads. And then there is a book called The Rise and Fall of WCW that R.D. Reynolds had a hand in, and it's really good as well.
I believe that one is The Death of WCW.
Yeah, that's it. The Death of WCW. Yeah.
Death of WCW by R.D. Reynolds and Brian Alvarez.
Yeah.
I only know because Brian Alvarez signed my copy of it. One of the things that in this era that we're in, especially, but for the last few years, has been a bit of a hot topic in wrestling is the use of blood in professional wrestling. With what we've learned in medical science over the last few years, some people strongly feel that blood should be eliminated from professional wrestling as much as possible. Some people think in sparingly used amounts it's acceptable. Some people would like to have it in every single match that goes to the ring on every show. What's your own personal stance as it relates to having blood in pro wrestling?
I'm fine with blood. I don't think it should be all the time, and I think it should only be used as an enhancement for a large feud and possibly in the blow-off. But I do believe that if there is going to be planned blood usage, that the participants in that do need to be tested prior to the show.
Another aspect of wrestling that is always controversial, but it has popped up a little bit more so this year because we've seen more high-profile instances at the national companies, is intergender wrestling. There are people that absolutely hate intergender wrestling and refuse to have anything to do with it. There are people that love to watch intergender matches and are big supporters of it. Where do you sit on intergender wrestling?
I'm a fan of intergender wrestling. I always wanted to work with like Mickey Knuckles and like Jessica Havoc and stuff. So like, women can hang with men. Like, this sport for so long was dominated by men, but there are so many women out there right now who could work circles around some of the guys in the business that I don't see why they shouldn't be able to compete in the same ring at the same time as a man.
This week, WWE announced a few of their new signings that will be reporting to the Performance Center and begin the training on the way to the main roster, hopefully. One of those people, someone I believe you have worked with in the past, that being Alex Zane. Can you tell us a little bit about having worked with Alex Zane and what you think of this new signing?
So I've known Alex since about 2009, 2010. We never actually worked a match together, but I've actually known him since before he got into the business when he was still yarding. So Alex, even back then, we all knew he had something about him, an it factor, whatever you want to call it. He was phenomenal. He's a crazy athlete. I mean, he does stuff that you'll never see anybody else do. And if you have seen them do it, they don't do it as good as him. I'm super proud of Zane. He's worked his butt off for 15 years, I think is how long he's been in the business now. And he's not only improved his wrestling ability, but in that time he went from a scrawny 130, 140-pound guy to almost 200 pounds and having a physique that can compete with about anybody in the Fed right now. I was really excited to see after he took the quite a few years out of the business when he came back and had the match at the GCW Backyard Show, the first one they did, that he got recognition finally for what all of his friends and his peers already knew he could do. I'm not surprised one bit that he was signed by a major company within 2 or 3 years of coming back into the business. Went over to Japan, killed it while he was there. He's killed it in GCW. I mean, he's killed it everywhere. Super proud of the guy.
Well, we have hit the point of the show where we have a game we like to play. We call this Word Association. I will throw out the names of some people you have most likely come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops to mind is your answer. Are you prepared for some word association?
Yeah, let's do this.
Here we go. Damian Cole.
Fantastic promoter.
Hillbilly Jed.
Best big band in the business.
Dolly St. Clair.
Who was that?
Dolly St. Clair.
Dolly St. Clair.
Ring announcer.
Draw on the blank. Oh, okay, the ring announcer. Green? I was thinking of the
referee,
right person.
Dee Stewart.
Up and coming.
Drew Skills.
Absolute monster.
Aaron Anarchy.
Up and coming.
Referee Toby Lee.
Good guy.
Chris Icon.
Loudmouth.
Congo Kong.
Fantastic athlete.
Jason Levi.
He's getting there.
The last one, Stompin' Steve.
Nicest big man in the business, man. I love Steve.
You talked about Hillbilly Jed being the best big man in the business, and I'm not going to disagree there, and talking about Drew Skills being an absolute monster. On the flip side of those guys, I'm sure you've wrestled against some of the smaller cruiserweight types in your career. Who would you say are some of the better cruiserweight guys out there that fans may not have discovered yet?
As far as vets, I would go with Donnie Idol. He's fantastic. I love working with Donnie. As far as new and upcoming guys, you got to look at, like, Braden Lee. So many right now. Cole Radrick's phenomenal. Man, there's just so many. There's a lot of really good cruiserweights right now. And I know I'm drawing a blank right now. I've worked with so many guys over the last 11 years. Austin Fury's, he's definitely an up-and-coming cruiserweight that if he keeps working his butt off, he'll be someone to watch out for. Shoot, man. I don't know. There's just so many.
Now, the guys you mentioned, I agree with, all very, very good. A lot of those guys definitely should be on people's radars if they're not already. Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know QT has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
All right.
Well, thank you for the guy. Hello, Mr. Johns.
Hello.
Mr. Johns, I saw your YouTube video entitled Damian Cole versus Jacob Johns with Wade Castle 3-8-20 that took place this March. Do you know what entrance music Damon Cole entered with? It sounded something like from the Mario Brothers. Do you remember?
Yeah, it's called The Arcade. It's by Hypercrush.
Oh, Hypercrush. I think I've heard of them. Yes.
Yeah.
Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans what your entrance music is or was?
My most recent one that I was using was Jekyll and Hyde by Five Finger Death Punch.
Oh, Five Finger Death Punch. Okay, I've also heard of them. Have you ever heard of a band Rocket from the Crypt?
No, I have not.
No, okay. Can you confirm that you have used Soul Kitchen by The Doors as your entrance music? Soul Kitchen,
mm-hmm.
A song about strange highways.
No, I have not.
Oh, okay. After this interview is over, will you go on the YouTube and listen to the song Soul Kitchen by The Doors? Will you do this?
Yeah, I will. Yep.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Johns, as you were being introduced with this match with Damien, someone from the crowd made the wise-ass remark of Jimmy Johns. Does this confirm in your mind that some of the fans in your career have only aspired to a 10th grade education and none of them can name all seven continents?
I almost guarantee that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Johns, has anyone pulled you aside and told you that Damien Cole looks like WWE superstar Sheamus?
No.
Well, that's strange. I think he bears a somewhat striking resemblance. Yes. Sheamus. Okay. Well, Mr. Johns, in your match with Damien Cole, the referee did a good job in checking you before the match for foreign objects and also Damien. He even checked Damien's wristbands, which were black. My question is, have you ever been in a match where the referee has not done this and your opponent blatantly got caught with a foreign object that theoretically could have cost you the match, or it did?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay. So you've never had an opponent, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Johns, you locked up with Damien at the 5 minute and 19 second mark of the match, and then you threw him backwards to the mat. He landed with his legs up in the air, and he was leaning against the ropes like a hung Christmas tree ornament. At the 5:26 mark, you can hear him say, "This is not what I had planned." Since this match, have you indeed found out what his plan was for the opening minute?
I don't know what he expected, but I've never found out what he actually planned on doing.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Johns, at the 5 minute and 54 second mark, you gave him a knife edge chop, and he immediately afterwards, you can hear him say something about a nipple. What's the hardest knife-edge chop you have received?
Bobo Brazil Jr.
Oh, I think this has been mentioned on this show before. Bobo Brazil, yes. Have you ever received one from Madman Pondo?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay. What's the hardest knife-edge chop a lady has given you?
Probably Cameron Starr.
I think a reoccurring common theme is beginning to rear its head here. Cameron Starr. Oh, okay. Have you ever teamed with Cameron Starr?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, Mr. Johns, at the 6 minute and 30 second mark, Damien did a duck through and got you in a grip from behind in what could have been his hope for a German suplex. My question is, has anyone been successful in German suplexing you?
Yes. Yeah.
Hello. Who was that?
It would have been Hillbilly Jed, actually.
All right. Do you believe that Brock Lesnar would have been a lot more successful than Damon Cole would have been in suplexing you, Brock Lesnar?
Definitely. Brock Lesnar is an absolute monster. So.
Yeah, you got that right. Okay. How about Kurt Angle, who might weigh a little less than Brock Lesnar?
Kurt probably would be, because he'd know how to use the leverage to do it with his amateur wrestling background.
That's true. That's true. And he used to squat an insane amount of weight. Not really insane, but the repetitions. He would do like 40 reps of squats with 200 pounds or 205 pounds. Rest a couple minutes and do it again. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Johns, you ran across the ring after whipping Damien into the ropes and gave him a modified stinger splash. Do you recall a seminal moment in WWE history when King Kong Bundy cracked Hulk Hogan's sternum with a splash?
No, I don't. That's probably a little bit before my time.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you might want to read up the moment when King Kong Bundy did crack Hulk Hogan's sternum. I could see that happening. Okay. All right. And it did. Okay. Well, Mr. Johns, your match took place in a red-covered wrestling ring. Well, the mat was red. And in this time of COVID, are you more concerned than ever about sanitation of the mat between matches?
Oh, definitely. To be honest with you, I think most promotions should be using vinyl canvases right now instead of the actual canvases.
Okay, vinyl. Okay. All right. Okay. Mr. Johns, in your opinion, will there ever be a wrestler named the Social Distance Warrior?
I'm sure somebody will do it. There will be a heel out there at some point that will do it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Johns, I cringed when I saw you use Damien as a step stool at the 9 minute and 25 second mark. Have you seen the match where Andre the Giant stood on Iron Sheik's back for a good 5 seconds?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay. Man, how do you think Iron Sheik could have withstood that? Because at that time, I believe Andre the Giant tipped the scale at 510, 520 pounds.
I don't know. I know I would, even me being a big guy, I wouldn't want a 500-pound person standing on me.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Johns, at the 10-minute and 27 mark, Damien took flight from the top turnbuckle and knocked you down. My question is, if you get down to 280 or 290 pounds, do you yourself see yourself taking off from the top turnbuckle?
Oh yeah, definitely. I was doing it at 350, so.
Oh, my. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Johns, can you remember the first time you saw King Kong Bundy on TV, and was he an inspiration?
The first time that I saw King Kong Bundy on TV that I can remember would have probably been it would have probably been actually watching him on YouTube, not even on TV. And I've always, like, big guy wrestlers I've always looked up to would have been King Kong Bundy, would have definitely been one of them.
How about Big Van Vader?
Oh, yeah. Vader is definitely an inspiration.
All right. How about One Man Gang? Although he was kind of like on the border between a heavyweight and super heavyweight, I think. Well, maybe not. I'd say heavyweight. How about One Man Gang?
Never really watched much One Man Gang.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Johns, if you could time travel, which is a frequent subject on this show, and you had a choice of being on Piper's Pit or Carlito's Cabana, which one would you choose?
Piper's Pit.
Oh, okay, Piper's Pit. Would you cast a wary eye for any coconut that he was holding? A coconut.
Definitely.
Oh, all right. Well, Mr. Jacobs, have you ever had to have LASIK eye surgery for any detached retinas due to wrestling?
No, sir.
Okay, very good. All right. Well, Mr. Jacobs, we have had many wrestlers from North Carolina and South Carolina on our shows, and some of their diet includes barbecued meats. Now, a lot of pulled pork in the Carolinas is vinegar-based. They may use it as a pre-cooking method for seasoning, or they may use it to break down the fibers. But they also put vinegar on the pulled pork finished product. My wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, tell me you don't use vinegar with your pulled pork. Can you confirm that your shoot job is indeed at a barbecued restaurant?
It was. I worked for Beach Bum Barbecue, which is actually ran by former deathmatch wrestler Brandon Prophet.
Oh, okay. Have you ever tried vinegar on your finished pulled pork product? Ever tried that?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, okay. Well, now, do you prefer that to straight barbecue sauce? And do you yourself
no.
at home make your own barbecue sauce?
No, I definitely prefer barbecue sauce prefer homemade barbecue sauce.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Johns, I asked you the question, if you do get down to, what, 280 pounds, 290 pounds, the top turnbuckle question, is that indeed your target weight?
I'm looking at more 250-ish range.
Ooh, 250, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Johns, I'm going to turn it back over to Sun Guy.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, QT. Well, Jacob, one of the other great things about this time of year for a lot of independent wrestlers, even though it's going to be, I'm sure, a little bit different this year, is with the holidays coming up, a lot of merchandise can be picked up at merchandise tables and online sites for gifts for all the wrestling fans on your gift-giving list. I'm sure you've seen all manners of merchandise for sale over the years at different shows. What would you say are some of the more interesting things you've seen wrestlers trying to sell the fans?
I've seen a guy trying to sell shake weights that he had put a decal of his logo on. That one was pretty interesting. I can't remember who it was. I'm trying to think. I seen a guy buy wrestling figures from the Everything's a Dollar store and paint them and try to sell them for like $8 or $9 each. Those two would definitely have to be two of the more unique or interesting things that I've seen that were kind of like, okay, what are you doing, man?
Another thing that fans often ask for this time of year would be DVDs, and a lot of wrestling-related movies have come out over the years. Pretty much since the start of pro wrestling, there's been pro wrestling movies. What would you say are some of the best wrestling movies out there that you would recommend people pick up as holiday gifts?
Even though most people have seen this movie, it's probably my favorite wrestling movie would be The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke. That's definitely a must-have. Any of the WWE like championship collections or the WrestleMania sets are always great. There's so many good matches through all those. If you're more of a comedy fan, you definitely got to pick up Nacho Libre. Once again, an older movie. But those are like my go-to types of movies for as far as wrestling or match related DVDs.
Now, if you had to send a letter to Santa Claus, and I'm sure you will here fairly soon, and ask him for a few wrestling-related gifts for yourself, what are, say, the top five things you would be most likely to ask for from Santa Claus?
New boots. Gear. A good amount of wrist tape. Tiger Balm, and probably a couple of new knee braces because I need to get some.
So essentially all new gear.
Oh, yeah. My gear falls off now. I can't even wear my gear.
Not surprising. Well, like I said, we have a wrestler that went from a heavyweight down to the point where he was buying clothes off the cruiserweights and they were falling off of him. So I definitely can understand that. Now, I think you know a couple of really good gear makers. What would you say to this point in your career has been your favorite piece of gear that you have had made?
Hillbilly Jed made me a gunmetal gray and orange singlet, and I love that thing, but it got too small. I should be able to fit into it again probably within the next couple months, but by the time I'm ready to get back in the ring and stuff, it's going to be too big. But definitely my favorite set of gear I've had made.
Now, unfortunately, due to the circumstances that we are in, we have lost a lot of promotions due to the circumstances. We've lost a lot of wrestlers due to the circumstances. One of the promotions that you previously worked for, Hoosier Pro Wrestling, had to cease operations due to the uncertainty with the COVID situation. I know you were there for a while, and HPW had been in business for over 20 years. When you hear about promotions like HPW and some of the other ones that had to close the door, not so much because of business-related reasons, but because of the uncertainty of this, how does that make you feel?
It sucks because I know there's been promotions that were making, they were drawing and making good money, and the promoters had quit working shoot jobs because it was, they were doing two or three shows a month and making the money, and then all this stuff hits, and it put people out bad as far as the financial standpoints. And then there's been some good promotions that have had to shut down or temporarily shut down right now. And it sucks because the fans are waiting for them to come back, and it's uncertain when or if they're going to come back.
Now, obviously a lot of wrestlers have been out for several months because in a lot of areas they've not been able to run shows that long. In your area it's more open and shows are able to run on a limited basis right now. But for guys that have been out of work essentially in the wrestling business for going on 9 months now, what do you think the landscape's going to be as far as what shows will look like once they get back into things and they're coming back 9 months after their last actual show? Do you think that things are going to be similar to what they were? Do you think things are going to be different for those wrestlers? How do you think it'll play out as far as what the fans see?
I think that even when things open back up, social distancing is still going to be a factor because there's going to be people who are still uncomfortable. But I believe that wrestling, I mean, we were on an up when COVID hit as far as independent wrestling is booming right now. Like, it was, and I mean, it still is. I mean, the promotions that can run, they're selling out every show. When we can have 600 people in a gym again, I believe that most local shows that were already drawing a good amount of people, they're going to draw more, hopefully, because fans haven't been able to get to shows. When it comes down to it, I mean, most fans are addicted to professional wrestling. They're addicted to the storytelling. They're addicted to the physicality. They're addicted to seeing their favorite wrestlers. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Wrestling fans are one of a kind. I mean, they say football fans are savages, but wrestling fans are more savage than football fans will ever be. So let's hope that when wrestling comes back into full swing and independent shows are able to put back on full shows, that we will be packing houses and people are going to be happy with what's going on, and everybody will be happy. Everybody will be making money. Everybody will be entertained.
Now, someone that was a larger-than-life figure in pro wrestling is someone that is fairly well respected as far as his legacy goes, that being Andre the Giant. He was known as a pretty voracious drinker, and legend has it he drank 109 beers in a single sitting at one point. Have you ever seen any wrestlers attempting to come close to what Andre the Giant has sat as far as beer drinking ability by a wrestler?
No, I've never seen anybody get close to 109 beers, but I mean, there's quite a few of us that can, throw some back. I mean, I've went out with the boys and we've had some pretty hefty bar tabs after some shows. So
one of the things that I'm sure you're going to deal with once you get back into things as well is being able to maintain the proper eating regimens on the road. I know it can be hard for people when shows go late and you don't have a whole lot of choices open as far as food goes. What do you think you're going to end up doing as far as being on the road and being able to maintain diet?
So right now my diet is high protein, low carb, no sugars. I shouldn't say no sugars, a little bit of sugar, but mainly I live off of protein shakes, canned chicken and canned tuna, man. I feel like I'm living the Rob Conway, if it tastes good, spit it out philosophy right now. So really, like, I travel a lot anyway, like even during the pandemic, because I live a good distance away from my family and stuff. It's literally, I just take canned chicken, canned tuna, the packs of tuna, like the flavored ones and stuff, and my protein shakes with me, man. I mean, I'm set.
I've seen wrestlers bring a separate bag with a lot of their food. They'll bring in the cans of tuna and cans of chicken and the protein shakes and sometimes pasta and all sorts of food in a separate bag. Do you see on shows that you do a lot of wrestlers that will meal prep that way and they'll bring in all the food they need with them so it's readily available like that? Or is that kind of a rare instance for you to see?
No, I see it quite a bit. Actually, one of the guys that we trained through the New Era Wrestling Academy, he does that, Jake Carter. He takes a meal prep bag with him everywhere. He has a special bag that's even, like, got split compartments to put his different meals in and stuff. I see a lot of guys that are bringing their own food nowadays because, like you said, it's hard to eat on the road and eat healthy. I mean, when you're getting out of a show at midnight, 1 o'clock, you know, the only things that are open are White Castles and McDonald's. So, you know, you're not going to get nothing healthy at either one of those places. So, in this day and age, it is essential, I think, to carry food with you at this point if you want to stay healthy.
Out here in the Pacific Northwest, we have a wrestler named Big Vicious that is managed by a sock monkey named Bob. We also have a wrestler named Darkness that is managed by an actual skull. Over on Impact Wrestling, you see Crazy Steve, who has a different sock puppet manager. There's all sorts of inanimate managers out there in pro wrestling these days. I'm sure you've come across a few of them in your career. What are some of the more interesting inanimate object managers that you've seen in your careers to this point?
The one that pops into my head that I can really think about is a rubber chicken. I've seen somebody who has a mask that is essentially their manager as far as they talk to it and stuff during and before and after their match. Those are the two that really, I think, pop into my head that I can think of right now.
Now, is that chicken named Chicken Bob who managed Cousin Cooter?
Yep.
He lives with me now. Yeah, Chicken Bob's right here in the place with me right this second.
Yep, that would be Cooter's chicken.
Cooter has a few chickens, but when Chicken Bob retired, I brought Chicken Bob home with me. He lives with me. Now, of course, one of the things that a lot of wrestlers are going to have to do once things are more open and they're back to business is getting back to ring shape. I know a lot of people, especially when the pandemic first hit, would go out and they bought a lot of home gym equipment to try to stay somewhat in shape. A lot of people have been incorporating more cardio-intensive workouts to maintain shape. I'm sure it's going to be a struggle for a lot of people once they get back into things to be ready physically. Have you been doing anything different compared to what you normally did as far as being ring ready?
I'm doing cardio. I haven't with having surgery and stuff, I was on a long weight restriction as far as lifting and stuff, so I haven't really got back into lifting. But I'm thinking about actually buying a heavy bag and starting to do some boxing workouts to try to get my cardio and get back into ring shape. Because I'm still 8 months out from even getting back into the ring to start training. So I have to do something because there's no way that you can go from not doing anything to getting back in the ring and think you're going to be able to hang with anybody.
Especially if you got a guy like Aaron Anarchy or Braden Lee in there with you.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of the boxing workouts, we've seen a lot of transition over the years where professional boxers will come into wrestling as special guest enforcer referees or managers or what have you. Occasionally they will do actual matches such as Money Mayweather did at WrestleMania. If you had to pick one person from the world of boxing that would have had the most successful pro wrestling career if they had chosen that, who do you think that would be?
To be honest with you, after you mentioned it, if he would have been, as far as entertaining and being a character, Money Mayweather could have been a decent character. I don't know how good of a wrestler he would have been, but he could have definitely been a good character.
Big Show's nose might say not too good.
Right.
Now, before we had the lockdown as far as travel goes, in the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of independent wrestlers traveling over to Japan to wrestle. It's been more open for the independent wrestlers than it ever has been before. It used to be only the biggest of names would get invited to wrestle there now, but now we see a lot of people that have never had national experience going to Japan for tours. Is wrestling in Japan something you have ever considered doing yourself?
Oh, I would love to wrestle in Japan. I would love to go to Japan. If I ever had the opportunity, I'd jump on it.
Now, another location that seems to be more open, sans, of course, the travel restrictions, is Europe. We see a lot more Americans heading over to places like Germany and England. And even Ohio Valley Wrestling opened up a sister promotion in Romania. So there's a lot of opportunities in Europe now compared to a few years ago. Is going to Europe something that you've ever considered?
Yeah, I like the European style of wrestling. Like it's a mixture of American and Japanese, and they got a really German, and they have a really good mixture of styles there. I'd love to go over to Europe and learn and wrestle and really expand myself.
Now, if you had to pick any European competitor, past or present, who would you say would be your dream European opponent?
Mark Andrews.
Oh, someone very current. Okay.
Yep. I've met Mark on a couple occasions, and we never got to work together. But I like his style, and I think that it would be really fun to work with him.
Now, recently, we saw Mike Tyson have his first boxing match in a long while. It was an exhibition, but that sparked the idea of a potential rematch between Mike Tyson and Buster Douglas. Douglas, of course, the man that beat Mike Tyson for the heavyweight championship and then went on to take Mike Tyson's spot on Saturday night's main event. Do you think that the Tyson-Buster Douglas rematch is going to happen?
I say if they offer him enough money. I wouldn't bet on it, in my opinion. I wouldn't bet on it.
Now, if you could form a partnership, be it as a tag team partner or as a wrestler and a manager, or even just working in any capacity with a past or present boxer, who would your dream partnership be with from the boxing world?
From boxing, I always liked watching Muhammad Ali fight, so I'd have to go with Ali.
That'd be as a tag team?
Yeah, probably. I mean, we'd figure something out.
Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to give you ample time. If you have anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you want, social media, merchandise, any upcoming shows you know of, your favorite bar, anything in the world, floor is yours.
Follow me on social media at the Jacob Johns on Instagram, at the Jacob Johns on Twitter. You can follow me at Jacob Johns Wrestler on Facebook. I'm also a part-time video game streamer at Xcalis Gaming on Facebook. What else? That's probably about it. I mean, look me up on ProWrestlingTees.com @TheJacobJohns. Yeah, that's what I got going on right now. I don't have any shows or anything, and really, in none of my local promotions that I work for are running right now. So,
well, Jacob Johns, I want to thank you for coming back on the show, and hopefully we'll have you back on way sooner than the last time, so know that you're always welcome here, and best of luck as you continue to work on your physical condition and work on getting back in the ring in a few months.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, man. It's always a pleasure.
Pleasure is definitely ours. Fans, once Jacob Johns gets back in the ring, make sure you go buy a ticket, support him and what he does. Great competitor. You're going to see a different side of him once he gets back in the ring, I think. But he's definitely worth paying a ticket price to go see. Get out there this week. Support your local independents. Pick up some merchandise for all the wrestling fans on your holiday gift-giving list. That's how a lot of the wrestlers supporting themselves these days with all the limited shows they have. So pick up merchandise wherever you can, and we'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. Noted author of the book Wrestling by Chance, Vincent Berry, is going to be with us, so make sure you have plans to be with us then. And a week from today, Scotty Young coming to the show, so make sure you join us, and we'll talk to you soon.